Unscripted.
Each episode is available to view on YouTube, so be sure to check us out.
You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
When you let your self-driving car out on the streets, you want it to choose good even if it's difficult, right? So essentially, you end up with this test for artificial intelligences that resembles, in many, many respects, the same test, you know, the test of mortality.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Saints Unscripted. Sabrina and I, David, I guess I always forget to introduce myself, but we are here today with Ross Ritchie. Now, we got in contact with Ross through our friend Kurt Frankum, who we've had on the show before. He's over at Leading Saints. Ross, you used to be on the board of directors over at Leading Saints.
I did.
You've got your own blog.
Yeah.
What's that called?
WeAreNotSaved.com.
Okay, I that's clickbait, right?
It's after a scripture in Jeremiah.
Okay, and you've also got your own small software company
yeah.
that you're doing. We learned you're from Salt Lake area,
yep.
And we're going to be talking about something really interesting today, and I don't think Sabrina nor I really have any idea where this is going to end up.
Nope.
Buckle up.
That makes it exciting, right?
Yes, yes.
Extra unscripted.
So we're talking about artificial intelligence,
yeah.
AI, and not the Haley Joel Osment movie from the 90s.
No.
What do you want to talk about regarding AI?
So I think everybody's heard of ChatGPT at this point, right?
Yes.
And you played around with it and whatever else, and it's, oh, it's cool. Wow, this is crazy. Just yesterday, as we're taping this, they released this thing called GPT-4.
The upgrade.
So it's kind of the technology behind ChatGPT. It's even better. It's even cooler. And some people are calling it what's known in the business, in the artificial intelligence world, is artificial general intelligence. The old ChatGPT could do things, but you could tell it wasn't like human, right? It couldn't do everything a human. So general means it can do anything that a human can do, right? It's got the same essential level of intelligence and the same capabilities that we do as humans, right? So that's the general. It can do everything. It can't just answer queries or whatever. It could, you know, essentially it could work at a factory, or it could solve math problems or whatever else.
So what you're saying is that this version of ChatGPT is something that could like be installed in a physical robot and
That's what people are worried about, and they're also worried that more than being installed in a robot, that it would be smarter than us, and if it's not on our team.
The bowler hat guy? From what's that called?
Meet the Robinsons.
Meet the Robinsons, right? That hat was supposed to be good, and then
I was thinking iRobot.
So
similar to iRobot, right? Yeah. Like you've got these things. The robots are super smart. Maybe they're super strong. And if they're not on our team,
we're in trouble,
right? Then we're in
That's
trouble.
Scary, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So essentially, there are people who are worried about the Skynet problem or artificial general intelligence. They see that intelligences are coming. We've created intelligences, right? Mm-hmm. They want to make sure that they're on our team, that they're moral, right? That they're not going to destroy us all like Skynet or take over the world or do whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Before they let them into the world as super intelligences, before they give them sort of godlike power, right? They're worried that these artificial intelligences, if you give them the right amount of resources, at a certain point they could become, you know, way more powerful than us, mm-hmm. right? Well, okay, you got the same thing in Abraham 3, right? You got the intelligences that are gathered before the world world is, right? We will prove them herewith to see if they will do all the things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them, right? We're going to test to see if they're moral.
Okay.
So we've got exactly the same parallel in Abraham that we have currently with people who are worried about AI risk. Mm-hmm. You've got the intelligences. You're not sure what they're going to do. You want to make sure they're going to be good before you advance them to, you know, the next level, right?
Yeah.
Whether that's godhood, whether that's a second estate, whether whatever, it's exactly parallel, right?
Yeah.
People have been thinking about this for actually quite a while because mm-hmm. they could see that this was coming. I mean, it's kind of arrived, and some people are like, oh, it's too late now. We're just screwed, right?
Yeah. A lot has changed really fast.
A lot has changed really fast. But they've been thinking about it for a long time, and there was this guy who's one of the big thinkers in the space. His name is Nick Bostrom. He wrote this book called Superintelligence. And in there, he described, well, the first thing you might do is you might take the AI that you're worried about and you might put it in a box and you might keep it from interacting with the rest of the world, right? Hmm. Well, if you think about it, That kind of sounds like mortality. It kind of sounds like the veil. Mm. It kind of sounds like a lot of, you know, like
a controlled environment.
A controlled environment where, you know, we can't do too much damage.
Yeah.
And we're going to, and he also talked about how, well, you can't just tell it, be good. Because first you got to define good. You've got to give it commandments, right? Mm. And then you've got to have, there's got to be the opportunity for it to choose something other than good. If the only option is to choose good, then it's going to choose good. But you've got to give it the option to choose good or evil. You've got to, suddenly you've got to give it the choice between good or evil.
Well, okay, so why do we have to give someone without a conscience the choice between good or evil?
Well, that, without a conscience?
Yeah.
Or without like, a consciousness?
Without either?
Well, I'm so confused!
I don't know.
Well, so to go back to the AI thing, right? So we got these AIs, we're worried they're going to destroy the world, right? So we want to make sure that when they get to the point where they're like super powerful and they're doing stuff for us and they're in our Alexa and they're driving our kids, right? That they're not going to do bad things.
It's also because they need to recognize when bad things are happening, right?
Right. So they need to recognize what's bad and what's good so that when they're out here, they can do good stuff. And the only reason they can, and the only way they can choose between good and bad is if they actually have bad options.
Okay, yeah.
And they can refuse to do the bad options, right? So let's say you're training a self-driving car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you put it in your little space, mm-hmm. and you give it the option to run over the children, you know, doing crossing the crosswalk from school. You want it to not do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, and I get you. It's only morally right if they've chosen to not do the bad
right
thing.
Exactly, yeah, right. You can only trust them to be good once they're on their own.
Yeah.
Once you've let them in the world, you can only trust them to be good if you've given them the option to be bad and seen that they
okay.
decided not to be bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, they need to know when to flip the guy off that just cut them
right
off.
They have very fine-tuned rules, right?
Yes.
And so this, I mean, forever this has been one of the things people have beat up Christians and religious people, like, why would God allow evil to exist, mm-hmm. right? Why would bad things happen to good people? Why is there evil in the world? Well, if God, as we think in LDS cosmology, is training intelligences before he gives them godlike power, then of course evil has to exist. Otherwise, you can't know, is someone truly good if they never even had the chance to choose evil, right?
And I like that you use the word training. Training us towards something.
Right.
Not just testing us to see if we pass or fail.
Yeah, not just testing us for the sake of testing us. We're sort of gods in training, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, before we get, you know, whatever power, whatever rewards we're going to get in hereafter, I assume God would want to be sure that we're going to use them responsibly. So he gives us a bunch of mm-hmm. opportunities to use things responsibly, to make good choices.
Yeah. It's like Willy Wonka and Charlie.
I haven't thought of that, but yes. He wants to give us the golden ticket,
mm-hmm.
but yes. He's going to send us through the factory first to see if we, you know.
See if we can handle managing the factory.
Fall into the river of chocolate. Yes, all those things. Yes,
not that God is ever going to retire.
No.
We're going to get beat up for that. Not going to happen. We're not replacing Willy Wonka. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Continue.
You're off the reservation.
Yes, yeah. I'm off.
Yeah, and not only do you have to have the option to choose evil, but it can't be obviously the easiest choice to choose good. It has to be beneficial to choose evil and hard to choose good, right? Like you want, when you let your self-driving car out on the streets, you want it to choose good even if it's difficult, right? So essentially you end up with this test for artificial intelligences that resembles in many, many respects the same test, you know, the test of mortality, right?
Mm.
You've got to have evil, you've got to have temptation, you got to give people actual choices.
Yeah.
You put them in a box where they don't know about the outside world. You shelter them in a veil. And so sort of independently, people working on AI risk have kind of independently arrived at the same plan of salvation that Joseph Smith came up with in, you know, the 1830 or whenever, right?
That is so crazy.
Right. So that's kind of and as artificial intelligence gets closer and closer to reality, I think you see more and more of this worry and more of this concern, like, how do we make sure these people are moral? Oh, well, guess what? We already have the answer, right? We already figured it out.
I'm thinking about how the plan of salvation was created by God, who is all-knowing, right?
Sure.
And is there like a danger of us kind of like in a way playing God when we are not all-knowing?
Right. Yeah. No. So you come up with, one of the first things people come up with is God can, yeah, knows how much temptation we need. He knows how much evil we need. Yeah. He's not going to be tricked by an AI pretending to be good. He's not going to be tricked by us. Right. Mm-hmm. Whereas, as you know, AI risk researchers or people who are trying to decide, should we put ChatGPT in our Alexa, right? Yeah. We could be tricked. We could be whatever. And so there is some aspects of where it falls apart. And that's why also I think we're not going to get true artificial conscious beings, because it kind of feels like, you know, intelligence is sort of a special thing. And if we can end up creating intelligence, then I feel like, you know, we've missed something.
You're essentially saying the best we can do is try to mimic.
The best we can do is try and mimic, yeah.
So I guess one of the questions I have is, what do you foresee in the future of AI?
I think that ChatGPT and the new GPT-4 are not going to be quite as useful as people think. And I think we're hitting an area of diminishing returns. So I think it's going to change the world and it's going to be amazing.
Yes.
But I do think that it's not going to quite, you know, get to the iRobot stage.
So what's the moral of the story?
Yeah, so I was going to say, what do we take away?
Yeah.
Well, I think the moral of the story is that a lot of things that people have traditionally criticized Christians for as being paradoxes of their belief, like the problem of evil, the problem of suffering, end up being absolutely necessary if what you're really trying to do is train intelligence to be moral before you can give them, you know, before you can give them godlike power or additional power or whatever, what have you. If it's a probationary period, if we're sent here to be tested, then all these things are crucial elements to the test, not mistakes.
Well, I find that very validating in a sense.
Oh, that's good.
Just because, yeah, like, and it's not just a problem for Latter-day Saints, as you mentioned, it's a problem for you know, Christianity and other religions as well.
Yeah.
And it's just so interesting to see us come full circle almost in a sense and come to those same conclusions of it being necessary.
Yeah.
In some of the books that you read about intelligence, they talk about, okay, so you set up this test environment for AIs, and you throw everything you can at them, right? You throw temptation, you throw bad things, you throw whatever, right? And you give them every chance to screw up. And if by some miracle they don't screw up, then you finally have an AI you can trust with godlike power, right? Mm-hmm. Now the problem, one of the reasons why you have to test things so extensively is that artificial intelligences are weird. Like, you don't understand them, right? They say weird things. If you look at ChatGPT, it does weird things. So it's possible that you may not understand the AIs in the system enough to, you know, trust that if they made one mistake that's the only mistake they ever made. Or instead, they may have made one mistake and thought, oh, I figured it out, right? Like, I'm not going to make more mistakes, but secretly I'm evil, right? Well, so this one perfect AI, right, that you have, that has passed all the tests, he, being an AI, could possibly vouch for the other AIs, right? He might even be able to, you know, atone for their sins, right? He might be able to act as sort of a savior. So the whole business of, you know, crafting the perfect AI is all from this AI book I mentioned earlier, Superintelligence. But the idea that if you had a perfect AI, he could vouch for the other AIs, it just seemed like it kind of fell naturally out that as I was reading, like, oh, he's developed the whole idea of Christ and the atonement based on his idea for how we test AIs, right?
Wow.
Yeah. It's
getting crazier.
So the idea is that this perfect AI is not going to misjudge.
It's not
going to
misjudge like we would
the other
AIs. And so
the AIs in training.
It could vouch for them in a way that it can trust them in a way we never could, right?
Especially because he has experienced.
Because he has, like in Alma, was it 7:12? He has borne their sufferings
he's been through it.
He's been through it, right? He's been through exactly the same thing these have been through. So he understands them in a way we never would.
Yeah.
I can't take much more of this.
I'm on overload. This is going to take a while to process. But that's really interesting.
Yeah. So that's the final piece of the puzzle.
how artificial intelligence can help you understand the plan of salvation and the atonement.
Or how the plan of salvation can help you understand artificial intelligence.
Oh my gosh.
And all what you mentioned is that it can be found on your blog, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And it's even more ironic now after having this discussion that your blog is We Are Not Saved.
We are not saved,
yeah. We'll see. Maybe it's just we're not saved from AI. I don't know.
We're not saved from AI. Well, it's, yeah.
Ross, thanks for being here. Guys, if you have comments, let us know in the comments. If you have thoughts, let us know in the comments or questions for Ross. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch our videos, check us out on YouTube or shoot us a message on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.